Hello, friends.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Brittany. Together, we're two sisters who are here to help you learn some tips and tricks to help navigate this crazy journey called life.
Hi, friends.
Okay, so we are in our final episode of Expectations versus Reality. So if you hadn't caught the others, what did we just talk
we
about?
We did adulthood, parenthood, and friendships.
That's right. So now we are talking about marriage.
We come together today for marriage.
Marriage.
So, Cesar. We have both been married.
I've been married for a while.
You're on number two. I'm on my first. My current husband, as one of the, there's this comedian. Have you seen him? Ulysses or Ernest or whatever.
My current husband.
Yeah. I love him. So my current husband is Matt. Even though he's fabulous. Okay, so today we're talking about the expectations of marriage and the reality of it. So, sister, what's the most unromantic yet deeply loving thing your husband has done this week?
I think I was on the phone with you and I realized it on Monday, where I came out and he had cleaned the kitchen, and I was so happy that he had cleaned the kitchen. His kids had left the night before, and I was so overwhelmed because there was just all this clutter all over the kitchen, and I was like, oh, but he cleaned it, and I felt very seen.
I felt very seen.
Because he was like, I don't want you to feel like you're my kid's maid. And I was like, I love that.
You're like, that was so
I don't want to be their maid.
I love that.
I know stepmoms have a lot of roles, but I don't want to be the maid.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of mine. I mean, my husband does things all the time where I'm like, that is definitely not romantic, but it does make me feel extremely loved. And I feel like this week,
Mrs. Doubtfire
kept bringing me food, a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
But he kept feeding me. So we had some things happen in our family this week that shifted some of like our work schedule. So I'm working more now and taking on more clients. And he is Mrs. Doubtfire right now. And he has been so sweet about it. And he's been like, I think overall, okay, I got one for like my overall most romantic thing my husband has done for me. That's not romantic.
Not necessarily
loving. Not romantic, but it's very loving. Is he has always been number one cheerleader. He's always like, you can make more money than me, and I love that. I want you to. You are like more talented than me. Like he's always been my number one. Like,
oh, he is like
our
hype guy. Yeah,
he's a hype guy, but he's like the best hype guy for me. Like. I walk on water, apparently. Like, I am amazing.
But like, I'm not even his wife. I'm just his sister-in-law. And I feel like that is such a talent that Mattson has, where it's just like, he can make anybody feel like, I am pretty awesome. Like, I'm doing a great job. And so like, I could see that though.
Sincere.
Like, he was his wife. Yeah. It's like, he is there. Like it is. Yeah.
Let him judge Judy lately because he can be a judgy person sometimes.
Okay, he's a meerkat.
He's a high perfectionist and a high performer, which I love dearly about him. But so I call him Judge Judy. But the thing when this man gives you a compliment or when he says you're good at something, you know it because you know when you're messing up and you know when you're awesome. Like it's just so pure and sincere that's probably the most loving thing my husband does for me is like, I know at the end of the day, I'm an amazing mom. I know I am an amazing therapist and I know that I am an amazing provider for my family. That's it. I never question that.
No. And he wouldn't tell you it if it wasn't sincere. Like that's the thing with Mattson.
Judge Judy would let me know.
Judge Judy would let you know. And I do love that about him as well. Like, yeah.
He doesn't love that. I mean, it's so funny. So Britt, what did you think marriage is going to be like?
I thought marriage would always be a lot of like snuggling and making out and wanting to hang out all the time and like going out on fancy dates and like raising these beautiful family and children, and it would all just be so happy and peaceful and yeah.
And yeah. Die quick. Car crash.
Does that sound accurate?
I love chick flicks. I was a rom-com junkie. I love romance novels. I love it all. I love the cheesy Hallmark. Give me that, like, I met this man 3 days ago and we are now forever soulmates kind of vibe. Best thing ever. Hallmark Christmas, I'm there.
So, 50 First Dates was your favorite for a long time.
Well, it's because it's funny.
And you were like, it is so funny. It's funny.
No, actually, Adam Sandler is like a romantic guy, not super sweet. I just like that the guy got beat by a bat and it was funny. Is that really it? Okay. Yeah. I think that movie's just funny. I think Adam Sandler's funny, but not like good rom-com. Like if good rom-com, like, but... which Mattson would throw up if I said this, but I love like Letters to Juliet or like.
You always have.
I know. I love those kind. Yeah. Like those kind. Like Proposal or I don't know. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But those kind. And I always thought like how sweet of this person like really is dedicated to this person and adores them and like. Trying to think of other things. I don't know. I like they would always have some conflict in the movie though. So this is the one thing I could say is I did expect there to be like a conflict when you're dating or a potential breakup, right? But you don't like expect that there's not really like something big necessarily. It's all the dumb small things like wipe down the dang counter, Mattson. Mattson, did you hear that? Wipe down the counter. Wipe the counter down. But
but it's those little things that drive you crazy. And it's like at the core, it's like I know we're super good together. And then there's the other thing.
Like, it's funny because this man, when they say love and hate are two close emotions, they really are. Like, there is some times where I'm like, you infuriate me to the nth degree. And yet I adore you. Like, love this man so much. And yet he is the one person that could probably really tick me off in 2 seconds and really just know how to like get to me. And he knows that.
Oh, he knows that.
Oh, he knows that. I mean, I have a husband that will do that though. Yeah. So like, I think expectation versus reality on that is, I don't know. It's a little bit of a weird one for me because I feel like I wasn't totally naive on relationships, especially too, the more I was a like therapist because I had, I was like a marriage counselor too and stuff. So I feel like I wasn't totally naive, but I feel like you don't know what your fights are going to be over or how stupid things are going to be sometimes.
And some of the things that really set you off sometimes, like I remember around Christmas, like it was one of those where I was like freaking out about who was decorating the Christmas tree. And it turned, we were fighting over the Christmas tree. And that was like,
what are you fighting over?
Well, and I think it was like a bigger thing for like, for me, I was like, no, like this is my house and I want to like set the traditions and I want to do all this. Right. And his was like, well, no, my kids decorate the Christmas tree. And so like, I think sometimes we get stuck in these ruts on things, which are just kind of, they're kind of dumb some way they come out, but like,
yeah, I don't think I expected though. I thought that I could avoid it, I think is more the thing. Like I knew that this is the reality of it, but I didn't think how much like life changes, like having kids and stuff was going to change some of our dynamics in turn from like, you know, we are a very good couple and we are very like good at being a couple. And then when we had kids, especially my daughter who has a chronic illness, then that was like, we turned more into roommates and we turned more into like, like task delegation. And like, I was so flooded with trying to take care of her and the house and the kids and everything. It turned a lot more into like ships passing in the night. And that's where I think it's interesting at times is like, you think you're going to be good and know how to handle it and like, know these are like warning signs and try and compensate. But when you're actually in the reality of it and like, trying to juggle all of it, it's impossible not to get some of these cliche reality things that happen.
Totally. Yeah. And I've had that same thing too, where I'm like, second marriage, I know what to do. But then like, you don't know how to like what life's going to throw you with exes and stepkids and like all these different things. It's
yeah. I think sometimes though, it's just a part of it. Like, I think it's sometimes a necessary sacrifice to grow because like, I look back at that time with Ray and like the chronic illness and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what I would have done different. I didn't have, and he didn't have capacity for more than what we were providing for each other. Yeah. And I think that also, it's not so much about the downfalls that we have. It's more about recognizing them and the choices that we make to then go forward and say like, I know this is a season. I know that this is repairable. And can we keep going forward with it instead? And I think that's where marriage realities get chunky and like people don't push through it or stick it out because they don't know how to say like, I see this as a season. I see this as a moment. And I see this as this necessary sacrifice to build us closer.
Yeah. And I think also with that, like different chapters of your marriage and of your life, like you have to learn the skill set to kind of get to the end of the chapter and go to the next one. And so like, if you get so hung up on the things that you don't know or the things that are so frustrating you, like with the chronic illness with Ray, like you guys didn't even know what was going on with Ray. Like you didn't know how to help her because you didn't even know what her little body was going through. And so it was just like, you still had to have like that education component where it was like, how can I learn what to do next? And then when you got that, then it made it easier to like go back to those skills to like connect with Madsen. And yeah. I think it's like that in a lot of things in relationships.
But I think that's a very interesting thing is like you have to figure out how to deal with the presenting thing together and take it on as a team. So then you can go back to the original formation of your relationship. I did see this quote though one time and I really liked it where it was like, I once asked my grandfather how he kept his marriage for like 45 years or something like that. And he said, I didn't love the same woman I married. I learned to re-love her every year or every season that she changed. Yes. And I thought that was so cool. Cause like, I'm not married to the same man I was. I'm just not like, he's totally different. And we can all, my family says that, all his family says that, friends, like he has grown so much, but I love that man too. Like I love the man I married. I love the man that I have married now. And I think that's what we have to realize is like each season brings something and you have to reform that marriage and reform that relationship. And that's just the reality that we don't see. You see the falling in love part. You don't see the maintaining part. You don't see the re-choosing this partner part. You don't see the work to go and fix a repair thing that really sucked part and all these.
Yeah. The hard parts. Cause in the rom-com, it's usually only one time. And then they go back and show the like,
we're all good. And it's all the same as before. And like, I'm sorry. Yeah. There's some things like it will never be the same with me and my husband. There are some like arguments we've had or some like issues we've had. It will never be the same. But I also like, now getting over it and working through it, I don't want it to be the same because I like him more because I learned to say like, you hurt me and I still like you and I'm still choosing you. Right. Yes. And I think that's
crazy and I still love you. Like, yeah,
that's where the depth is though. Right. Is like, you're crazy and I still love you. There's an issue and I still love you. I'm still choosing to be here and be present. I think that's what's really cool about marriage is just how much you're choosing to be in it.
Yeah. And it is a choice. Like I had seen something recently too, where it's like, people always say not to talk about divorce, but to know like in reality, divorce is always on the table, like, and not to be negative on that. But at the same time, it's like, you have to choose to stay in a marriage. It can't just be like, well, we got married, therefore it's done deal. Like,
yeah, I think people slide or feel stuck instead of feeling empowered. So I get what you're saying where it's more of a, I'm empowered because I could always choose the other way out, but I'm still choosing to be here instead of saying like, no, I'm here because I have to be here kind of vibe. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very different when you say I'm here because I'm loyal and I choose it, not because I want to be here.
I want to fight this fight with you.
I told my husband the minute that I stop fighting is the minute that you know that there's something wrong. And he's always, you know, like that, like when I fight, it shows I love. When I fight, it shows I'm invested. When I fight, it shows that I actually care enough to have an opinion to tell you like, I don't like what happened. So you want me to keep fighting. And it's true. I think every marriage, like you should still fight.
I agree with that. Not and even that, like for a second marriage like, too. Yeah. Like, and I was like, I refuse to be seen as a checkbox. Like, yes, we got married, but like, I want you to show me that you're choosing me instead of just like a check that box, wife done, you know, like, I don't want to be that.
Well, you don't want to be taken for granted either. Right. Like, and that's something like, even in our like, you know, hard time with Ray and stuff, it was interesting because I was like, we're not taking each other for granted. We realize what's happening, but we are intentionally choosing that this is the phase that we have to be in right now to survive. Right. Like, so it's, and I think that's the key part is like, do you still acknowledge your partner? Do you still care about your partner? Do you still put effort to like, even if you are in this like weird zone, do you still take the time to be like, you matter and I see you?
Yes. And instead of just going in those weird zones and just checking out, because that's where it really turns into the roommate. And like, as recently,
that's where it turns into, like you're in a corporation together. It's not just a roommate. It's like you're in a business transaction of managing these kids now instead of, and I see that happen so much in marriages, which I think is fascinating is they go from, we are absolute intimate partners to now we are corporate partners. So different. Yeah. If you think about it, like the roles and all that stuff, and it's a very easy slide down and it all starts with, are you a checkbox or not?
Yes. Yeah. And do you matter enough to your spouse to like have them pay attention to what you're feeling too is another thing. Like it's instead of just like, hey, I say these things and then it doesn't actually matter. Like,
yeah,
that's hard. That turns into corporate because it was, I was talking to a friend recently and she was talking about how hard it is for her that she'd opened up to her husband about some things. And And she's like, and it's really hard for me because, you know, I'm trying to connect with you, but you're always on your phone. And so she's like, put the phone down. And so that's a struggle for them, right? Because she's like, he says he acknowledges this, but then he doesn't put the phone down. And so it's like, how do you, like, that doesn't show that you're, like, actually invested, because mm-hmm. you have to show that you matter instead of just being, you know, checking the box and, oh, I listened to you, or, oh, we went to therapy. But it's like, make the changes, do the things, have the discussions, yeah. even though we suck sometimes.
You know what's interesting too is I always thought that we'd be on the same page about things, or like have like similar opinions in general. And I was like,
oh, you know, Matt's getting
married. Yeah. Like just, or this person I married, and me and Matt come from different backgrounds, and we're similar enough. Like we're same like SES and schools and things like that, like socioeconomic status and things like that, and education wise and stuff like that. But just like him as, you know, we're a minority, we're half Mexican, and he's white as can be. So like, it's shout out to the ginge. So it's been really interesting, like some of that too at times, of where having to navigate the reality of it versus what I thought it would be. I thought like my partner would just kind of align with what I think, and we wouldn't really disagree on like major things at times. And there have been, you've seen us go at it, you know, like where it's, we disalign. And that's been an adjustment for reality of like, it's okay that we can agree to disagree. And that saying's great and all, but when it's in a marriage, it's fascinating because you really have a hard time with that.
Well, and it can even be in small things too, just to the reminder of like, you and your spouse do come from different backgrounds. Like everybody was raised in different homes. Like, cause James and I, same thing too. A lot of the things align the same. Right. And so it's like, but there are things like last night we were kind of laughing because I had sent out a GIF to my family from Christmas vacation. And so I was like laughing and thought it was like the funniest thing in the world. So and funny. He had never even seen Cousin Eddie. He didn't even know who Cousin Eddie was. Oh. And so I was like, oh, like, and so I had said something, I was like, yeah, like, I forgot that you wouldn't know the reference, right, is what I told him. And so I was like, that was my dad, one of my dad's favorite movies for years. And so he was like, this is another way, you know, so this is a small thing, but he's like, my dad didn't even hardly watch TV, and your dad's over there in his favorite movies, Christmas Vacation. And I was like, yup. But like, it just, the way that we process things sometimes where I'm like, this is so funny. And I'm like dying and texting to my siblings and my parents. And I'm like, funniest thing I've seen, blah, blah, blah. Right. And like, and for him, it totally falls flat. And so I think that just that's a micro example, but like you'd said, for other bigger things too, like that comes into things for like finances and religious beliefs and like how education and how parenting happens. Like, so you're going to disagree with your spouse. It's just, that's just the reality. Even though the expectation is we came from the same backgrounds, we went to the same schools, we were like, we're raised in the same social classes, there will be differences, because, you know, one parent watched Christmas Vacation and another had never seen it. Like, that's just going to be, it is what it is.
I also think though, that's like what makes us a better couple, because we do have some key differences, but we've learned, instead of going against them, we'll go and be curious with each other. And that's something that I think is interesting that a lot of couples are scared to do, is actually just explore the others. It doesn't really change our minds usually. Usually we're both pretty stuck in what we're stuck in because we're both pretty stubborn. But at least we gave each other respect and we gave each other space and the honor to like say what they're thinking. But it is different at times. And then other times
it doesn't feel like you're wrong, or like, I think it's like not to belittle the other partner, or like,
I struggle with that sometimes.
Or like ignore their feelings, right? Like the friend that was like, had talked to her husband about the cell phone, like, just find a way to validate, find a way to listen. Like, we're, you know, validation goes a long ways in a marriage, to just be like, oh, I can really see that was hard for you today, or whatever. Like, it, you don't have to agree. You're not always going to agree, but it's like, how can you just take that for a second and not just be like, oh, actually what you're feeling doesn't actually matter, because nothing will piss your spouse off more than that. Like, it's so frustrating.
I think the reality too, I wasn't quite prepped for, was the mental load. Like, we've talked about this before, but I wasn't fully prepped for just how much it naturally falls in certain areas or certain things, and how you have to have constant conversations about this with your partner. I think that was a bit of a surprise to me, on like, you think you divvy up the roles, and then you're like, hey, wait, like, I remember one day being like, how come I'm still the one doing all of this, kitchen stuff, even though we both work.
Yeah, right? It just happens sometimes.
I didn't mean to. And I was like, I know, but like, we made this agreement. Did we change the agreement? And he was like, no. It's like, okay. Like, but it's just interesting that how much you have to check in with each other, or he'll be like, hey, Tay, like, are you covering that now? Or am I covering that now? And it's like, oh yeah. Like, it's just, it's an area that you don't think you're going to have to talk about a lot, but you do.
You do. Like, even the example that I said earlier about the way my husband showed me that he loved me, right? That was super sincere. Like, cleaning the counter off. Like, in my mind, I was like, hey, that was your kids. That was your kids' mess. Like, why is it still here, right? And that's where I saw it. And it was just like it naturally would have fallen on me had he not seen that and, like, cleaned it up. Like, yeah. It's just, I would have been the one home. I would have been the one to put away the puzzle and the snacks and, you know, whoever socks were on the counter. Like, it's just, that's just life. But
partnership is wild.
Yeah.
And all the things that could potentially come with it. It's fascinating, though.
It is. And it can be really good. Like, I think it's just, I mean, it's like friendship, like we talked about before, but like kind of setting those realistic expectations and being like, what do I actually want from this? Like, it's not always going to be like in Enchanted or something, right? Isn't that the one where she was like getting swept
over
charming and like there's songs and there's music and the birds and like, that doesn't happen. It's not going to work. But
I think it's funny. Because I have a lot of people who think like marriage is going to fix all their problems, right? Like, this person's finally fully committed to me, and like, and they go into it thinking that. And I'm like, that is the dumbest thing. Marriage is one of the hardest things you will do, because you are going into, I tell my clients this, you're going into a permanent school project, like group school project, right?
Yes.
So, you know, like when you get assigned a group project and you're like, oh, I'm with my friend or whatever, and it goes terrible, or you're like having to figure out like who's doing this work? Why am I doing all the work? What's happening? You're trying to communicate to people and you're trying to get all this crap done and you're trying to get an A+. That is what marriage is you are going to a permanent
project. Even if you think divorce is the out, it's not, because you're still
on a group project.
Permanent. There's
you're
kids.
Still on a group project.
You're still
they in a group will project. Always have a mark on your life, whether you have kids or not, they have a mark on your life and something. Yeah. And that's where it's like relationships, especially it's such a committed one, and marriage or just a long-term commitment, like it's a mark on your life. So
forever. Like, especially when
group project.
Yeah. Because I had even had a girlfriend recently that had taught, she was like, if I get divorced, it's going to fix all these things. And I had to look at her and be like, no, I was like, it just changes the problems. Yes. And so it's like, as you're going into these things, like marriage, like there will be challenges. That is going to be realistic. Like the answer is not always going to be like, oh, if I get divorced, it's going to be all better. Or, oh, if I, you know, like if I just set my boundaries with him one time, then we're going to have this one big fight and it's all going to be fine. Like,
no.
It's not realistic.
I can't tell you how many times we've fought over, like, dude, tell me, like, you're taking up all your nights with all your hobbies. I can't even list the amount of times we have fought over that.
Yeah.
But hey, at least I'm fighting for it. But that's the thing I think that people forget is group projects are messy. They take a lot of communication and they take a lot of cooperation and compromise. And that's what marriage is. So sorry, it's amazing though. I do love marriage, guys. I do. But I think that's the reality that people don't realize.
I don't leave on the negative note. Like, and we both have great husbands, and it's.
We have fabulous husbands.
Yeah. And like the reality of it is, we have fabulous husbands and they're wonderful men, and it still takes work, and it doesn't always look like the fairy tale.
I tell everybody, I have an amazing husband who I know dearly loves me and my kids. Great provider for our family, great partner. Tries super hard to do all the things. He's still a turd sometimes. So it's just this balance of you're still in a group project with someone and it's still hard, but it's amazing. So if you pick well, it will be easier than if you pick crappy, because it's hard enough with a great person.
My husband's favorite thing to tell me right now is he's like, you know how you can tell that I love you? And I was like, how? And he's like, because you're driving me absolutely crazy right now and I still want to be here sitting by you and I still love you. And I was like,
I do that all the time. Yeah. My husband's just like, you're annoying the crap out of me, and I still take it. Yes.
Yeah. And that's where, and he'll just verbalize it now where he's like, that's how you know I love you, is I still want to be here. And I was like, that's great. Like, it's the group project with the kid with the runny nose sometimes, you know, like it's
so funny though. It's so funny. Britt, before we go, funny question. Who is your ideal romantic story or partner? Like characters.
Oh, like as a kid?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of ones that like aren't super healthy to think were like super
What was
healthy.
it? That's what I was like. What was one of the?
What?
I would love that marriage, like relationship.
Well, I just remember thinking like Heath Ledger in 10 Things I Hate About You was like the hottest relationship I'd ever seen in my
Oh,
entire
that's
life.
so funny.
Like, but
I could
that's
see
like
that one for you. That's
not
so funny. I could see that one being the one you liked.
what? I'm like, that's not even a thing, you know? Like, don't, yeah.
Don't do. Well, now you know because you're in a marriage, which is funny. But as
Yeah.
a teenager and stuff, you're probably like, oh my goodness, that's so romantic and so sweet.
So dreamy.
I like Aladdin and Jasmine.
You did. You always loved Aladdin and
Well, you know
Jasmine.
what's funny is my daughter is obsessed. She goes around the house singing A Whole New World and she goes, woo, and carries around her demon. She calls her demon. And
Yeah.
she asks for it almost daily to watch Aladdin and Jasmine. But
So.
I love the story of like, oh my goodness, she loves him for who he is. And he didn't care so much about her being princess. He just liked her. And like, I thought that was so sweet. My marriage is nothing like that, but
And I
loved
think
it.
the other one, like, remember my favorite chick flick was always Ever After
Oh
with
yeah,
like
I
Drew
do love it.
Barrymore. And
Why? Why?
I don't know. Like, it's like he picked her up from these like hard times, and it's like I didn't even have an oppressed childhood. I have no idea.
Did you
But
just
in
want
my
to become a princess?
I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, I did like the Will and Kate story. Prince William and Princess Kate.
I don't like the actual real life story or
Yeah,
like
like Diana, like the whole like UK. I loved that. Like
Yeah, that
15
one's
years
really
old, I was eating that up. That marriage, oh
cool.
my goodness.
Yeah.
I thought that was just so romantic and so dreamy that he married. And I was like, I want to marry a prince. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Guys, I married
Feisty.
a prince that's a ginger, redheaded.
Out
No.
the like servants.
Without the
Sorry.
servants, yeah. Without any status at all.
That is no
It's
status.
so funny though, looking back at like what you thought was romantic versus now what's romantic, like, or like even like romantic actions. I feel like now, being in a marriage for as long as I am, romantic actions really are like my husband is my cheerleader, like giving me food, versus when I first was like, oh, I'd be going to like this fancy dinner, or like planning this big event, or like going on this huge hike, or like, like all these like big events that we would do. And now I'm like, no, it's you bring me food.
Yeah, you bring me food and you do the dishes.
You feed me and you tell me I'm pretty when I'm scary looking.
But
Done.
clean it up. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Oh yeah, you gotta clean it up, otherwise it doesn't count. You put the kids to bed, like so romantic.
Yeah.
So
Another
romantic.
one that really was like, whoo, baby, baby, was he set up the irrigation drip for the plants that I planted. And I
Oh
was like,
yeah.
okay.
Oh, Matson one time got me a weighted vest because he knew I wanted one and he randomly got it from Costco and he never randomly gets stuff, guys. He stick to the list.
He
He's one of
doesn't.
the men that sticks to the list. And
Oh,
he came
yeah.
home and he's like, hey, look what I found for you. I was like, what'd you find? And he like pulled out, like, oh, look at it. And he was like so excited and he puts it on me. And I was like, oh my goodness, this man really loves me.
It's right. And it's not even the big thing. Like, there was one time James picked me up from the airport, I think after Christmas. Remember? Because I had like with custody exchanges and stuff, and I'd flown home, and he
Yeah.
showed up with my favorite chocolates and like daisies. And I was like, who are you?
That's
But
so
like,
romantic. So
so
romantic, and
romantic.
it's
He was like, you
not.
brought me daisies? Like, when we were dating, I remember he brought me a bag of chocolate covered macadamia nuts that he put it in like his Walmart order. It cost him what, $4? And
Cute.
I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so seen. Like, nothing had felt sexier in my entire life than the guy that shows up with the Walmart macadamia nuts, right? Because I'm like,
I love it.
oh, hello.
See, this is a funny thing though, is it really reality just changes when you realize like what true love is. True love isn't all these like big sweeping gestures. And I think that's what like TV has shown us, or like all these romance things, like it throughout time, like we highlight all these big things, but real love, real romance, real relationships are they're choosing you every day. They're sitting by you when you drive them nuts. They're getting you like things you need. They're taking care of the kitchen. They're taking care of, like that is real, a real relationship and a real romance. And like people forget that that's truly real love instead of, yeah, all these
Hot
sweeping
nights in a
gestures.
hotel room all the time.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
it's things like this, which is fascinating.
Yeah. But that's how you build a life together. Like, life is made up of the small moments instead of, with
The
the other
messy
things.
bits.
And
Yeah.
yeah.
It's the messy bits that are just beautiful, where they support you and are there to be there at your good and bad.
Yeah. And choose you. Like that's a big thing. Like,
yeah.
Not just a checkbox, but like choosing you makes a difference.
Anyways, so for marriage, it's a bit of an interesting one because it's definitely messier than what you think it is, but it's worth it.
Yes, it is.
Highly recommend it.
It was so fun. I did it twice.
I'm not happy now. Oh, Brittany. What? All right, my friends. So if you're interested and you haven't listened to all the series, we have one on marriage. We have one on friendship, parenting, and adulthood. So if you want to check those out, check those out. We're going to do our next series, I think after the month of July. So check out for our next mini series. Follow us on Instagram if you guys are more interested for like day-to-day tips. We're posting stuff all the time now. I am getting more regular people. Be excited. So follow us on Instagram at Imani Counselor. No, it's not even that anymore. It's Taylor Heiner Therapy on Instagram. And we're on YouTube. And Madsen posts stuff everywhere, so I don't know where everything is. But yeah.
Yes, but thank you.
All right, friends. Thanks.
Bye.